This program contains general information about legal matters and should not be used as an alternative to legal advice for your specific case. If you have any specific questions about any legal matter, you should consult Greg Leiter or other professional legal services providers. You should never delay seeking legal advice, disregard legal advice, or commence or discontinue any legal action because of information from this program. Welcome to Personal Injury Straight Talk on 1340 WJOL, brought to you by Greg Leiter, lead attorney with Leiter Law Offices. And here's your host, legal expert and your legal advocate, Greg Leiter.
Good afternoon, WJOL. It's nice to be here on this frigid Tuesday afternoon. It's nice to be indoors. If you are out and about today, bundle up, be safe. You know, we talked last week about the weather changing, the roads becoming icy, the snow accumulating, and what that means for drivers on the road. And we discussed the fact that when you're driving in inclement weather, you need to be cautious of the conditions, slow down, leave yourself enough room to stop so that you're not going to come into contact with the vehicle in front of you. Anticipate the possibility of sliding and slipping on the ice, and know that if you strike another vehicle because of the snow or ice, it is not going to hold up later on in court that it was an act of God or an act of nature. So be safe, plan accordingly. We talked last week about some things to be cautious of after an accident and dealing with the insurance company. And we're not going to spend too much time on it today, but I thought it was relevant. I had a client come in last week, and he was just involved in a motor vehicle accident, and he came in looking for help, and we sat down and went through it. And I talked to the claims adjuster that following day, and I find out that the client had already given two recorded statements to the claims adjuster. So in that particular case, we're already starting behind the eight ball, and it's something to be conscious of. Again, after an accident, insurance companies and the claims adjusters are going to be contacting you, sending you letters, calling you, looking for recorded statements. And I'm asking you to be conscious, be leery of that, consult with an attorney, because what you do tell that claims adjuster will undoubtedly come back later to haunt you. So be conscious of that. Speak with an attorney if you're getting bombarded by the claims adjusters. I've gotten a number of phone calls over the week of clients asking questions and people hearing the show and the commercial just having general questions about personal injury and civil litigation. Feel free to call 815-254-7300 with any questions, comments, concerns. Our office number, 815-723-7600. And you can find us online at www.gleiterlaw.com. So one question that continuously comes up, whether it's clients, existing clients, prospective clients, is inquiring about the value of their case. Somebody will call up and say, I was in an automobile accident. I went to the emergency room. This is what's wrong with me. What is my case worth? And I think we touched on this for a bit last week, that you should be wary of anyone who tells you, any attorney or anyone else, that tells you what the value of your claim is. Keep in mind that your case and every case is unique, and every case needs to be fully investigated. The liability, whether it's 100% at fault or if there's a contribution of fault amongst other parties, that all has bearing on the value of your case. And for any attorney or anyone else to tell you additionally the value of your case without really knowing the full extent of your medical condition or your injuries would be doing you a disservice, and it would be just pure speculation. So it's not something that I do off the bat. I'm leery in giving figures to prospective clients or existing clients until we have the opportunity to dive into the intricacies of the case. And you know, when the time comes where your case is ripe for settlement and it's time to reach out to the insurance company to try to resolve the case, there is a there's a number of factors that need to be considered in addition to the liability. But when you're seeking full compensation from the party that's at fault, there are a number of factors that need to be considered. Your medical bills, payment of the medical bills, your pain and suffering, any mental anguish, your loss of ability to enjoy life, your lost wages, and your diminished earning capacity. Those are all elements of damages that all need to be considered when resolving a personal injury case. And I know we've talked about this in the past, but payment of medical bills, there's no reason if you're involved in an automobile accident or any other kind of personal injury or workman's compensation case that you should be stuck at the end of the day paying the bills for the actions of another party that's at fault. So, you know, the last thing we want to do during litigation, which can be long and drawn out, is have medical providers coming after you and putting you in collection over these bills. So that's something that a good attorney would prevent from happening, and it's something that you need to consider and it's something you need to address with your attorney from day one. If you're involved in an accident and you're coming in to meet with an attorney and the bills are starting to pile up, bring those into your consultation with the attorney and let them handle it for you and get those medical providers off your back. Because, again, there's no excuse to be put into collection over an accident that is that's not your fault. So that is something to take into consideration. Another question that inevitably comes up is with regards to the statute of limitations. So let's talk very briefly. What is a statute of limitations? And what it is it is the time period in which you are allowed to file a claim, whether in court, a lawsuit, whether that's personal injury, workers' compensation, whatever it is. But, you know, if you don't file a lawsuit or a workers' compensation claim within the statute of limitations, it's going to be something that you will be barred from doing at any time in the future. So very briefly, for personal injury cases, there is a 2-year statute of limitations, and that's 2 years from the date of the accident that you have to file a lawsuit. If you wait 2 years and 1 day, your case is going to get thrown out of court, and there's going to be no recourse for you. So consult with an attorney. Leave yourself enough time. Workers' compensation claims, slightly different statute of limitations. If you get injured at work, you have 3 years from the date of the injury in which to file a claim with the Illinois Industrial Commission. So don't sit on it. And I know we talked last week, and I know we've mentioned it in the past, that with workers' compensation, that there are a number of requisites that need to be met before you can file a workers' compensation case in order to pursue one. And we've talked about it. That includes notice and certain specific facts regarding the claim. So something that everybody should be conscious of. You are limited in the time in which to file something. If you blow that time, you're precluded from ever filing anything. And if you have an attorney that blows that time, that attorney is going to be guilty of malpractice, because the statute of limitations is something that every attorney knows and should have in the back of their heads at all times when handling a injury claim. We have Boris on line one. How are we doing this afternoon, Boris?
Okay. I called in late, so maybe I did not hear you. If you live in Illinois and are injured, and then you move away, is still the 2 years, no matter where you go, if you come back?
Yeah, that's a good question, Boris, and it is. It's where the accident take place. So if you're injured in Illinois and you're here visiting for the holidays and then you go back home, you are going to have 2 years in which to file pursuant to the Illinois statute of limitations. So
all right. No matter where you go. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And no matter where you are. So
okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Boris. And that is a good question. Because with the holiday season coming up, people are going to be in town visiting family and friends, and then they're going to be traveling back home to whatever state they're from, and they are going to be governed by the Illinois Statute of Limitations. That generally is going to be where the claim or the lawsuit's going to be filed. There's always exceptions. There's always other places that that it can be filed in, depending on who the defendants are. But that it is the place of the accident. So, again, Illinois, 2-year statute of limitations for personal injury, 3 years for workers' compensation. One other thing to keep in mind, if you are pursuing a claim against a government entity or a municipality, then that 2-year statute of limitations is out the window. And most of the time, it's going to be a shorter time frame. So if you have a potential claim against the government or the city, a municipality, a school perhaps, your statute of limitations may not be 2 years. It may be 1 year, and there may be other certain notice requirements that are set up by the state that you have to satisfy to get your case in court. So don't sit on your case. If you have a question, you have a potential case, call myself, call another qualified attorney, talk to them about your rights. I'd hate to see somebody out there have a potential cause of action and think it's 2 years or 3 years and find out that there were certain procedures and steps that should have been taken care of within that time that weren't. So 815-254-7300. Give us a call with any questions or comments. Feel free to call us at the office to talk off the air, 815-723-7600. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk more personal injury.
Have you been hurt on the job? Has your doctor misdiagnosed or mistreated your medical condition? Meet attorney Greg Leiter. But before we go on, let's get two things straight. We've all heard the cheesy lawyer ads that say,
call us for a free consultation. We don't get paid until you win money.
The truth is, every injury lawyer gives a free consultation, and no attorney gets paid until you win money. So what should you look for in an attorney? Someone who wins your type of case. That attorney is Greg Leiter. Greg Leiter has years of experience with personal injury, medical malpractice, and workman's comp. He's won millions of dollars for his clients who've been hurt on the job and have helped them keep food on the table and provide for their families. Plus, his background as an insurance defense attorney gives him unique insight to help prove your case. Call Greg Leiter today. You'll meet with him, and he will personally handle your case. If you have a personal injury, workman's comp, or medical malpractice case, or know someone who does, call Greg Leiter today at 815-723-7600. That's 815-723-7600.
Need extra cash? Get rolling with one of the most recognized names in the package delivery business, Kelly Services. Kelly Services has a fantastic opportunity for commercial drivers. To qualify, you need to be at least 21 years old and have a minimum of 6 months commercial driving experience within the last 3 years. No CDL required. Seasonal drivers are employed and paid by Kelly Services while on assignment with FedEx Ground. If you are 21 or over with good customer service skills, a clean driving record, and prior driving delivery experience, visit in person Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. till 2 p.m. at 920 Taylor Road in Romeoville. Once again, that's Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at 920 Taylor Road in Romeoville. Or call 815-221-4631 for more information. That's 815-221-4631 for more information. Kelly Services is an equal opportunity employer.
Scott Slocum here, reminding you that J.D. Brown Pharmacy has something that everyone can use this season, vitamins. If you knew a way to avoid getting sick, wouldn't you do it? Check this out. A daily vitamin from J.D. Brown Pharmacy can actually help you avoid getting sick.
That's right, Scott. Vitamins help supplement a less than well-balanced diet, and vitamin C protects against immune system deficiencies, which means you're able to fight off all those cold and flu germs. And did you know that vitamin D can maintain a positive mood through these dreary winter months?
Right now, J.D. Brown has a great sale going on where most of their windmill vitamins are buy one, get one free. And if the cold, flu, or allergies have already got you down and you're in need of some nasal and sinus relief, be sure to check out NeoMed Sinus Rinse Kit.
We even offer nebulizer machines for when your allergies flare up. And don't forget, J.D. Brown is happy to offer free delivery to the Joliet area.
J.D. Brown Pharmacy, 837 Plainfield Road in Joliet. A proud member of the Will Buy Local Alliance and your good old-fashioned pharmacy. Call 815-723-0611 or visit jdbrownpharmacy.com.
1340 WJOL has news that affects your life.
State Senator Christine Rodonio says it's good that school funding bill, Senate Bill 16, seems to be fading.
You know, you don't solve a statewide problem by devastating an entire swath of the state, which is what Senate Bill 16 did.
While change is all around us, one thing remains constant. 1340 WJOL is the number one source for news and information for Joliet and Will County.
Back Will County, 815-254-7300 is the number with any questions, concerns, feedback. Let's talk briefly about that first meeting with your attorney. Have you found someone that you believe you're going to trust and that you want to work with, and now you're setting up for your initial meeting, consultation with the attorney. So let's talk about some of the information that you should be bringing with to that meeting. And obviously you're not going to have all of this information, but it's helpful if you can get as much as you can. The more information that you can bring, the better chance your attorney is going to have to get you honest feedback and formulate a game plan with you and how to proceed. Generally, all the documents that you have that are related to your injury, bring them with you. Police report, incident report, if you have anything like that, an accident report, bring that in with you. I hear a lot of times clients say that they've tried getting the police report, they're having difficulties, no one's turning it over, or an accident report. If that's the case, fine, come in. Your attorney will have no problem ordering and obtaining a copy of that report. If you have a copy of your, if it's an auto case, a copy of your automobile declaration page, bring that in with you, okay? That's going to set forth the policy limits and what coverage you have. And that's important because, you know, we've talked in the past about uninsured claims or underinsured motorist claims, which is where you're pursuing a claim through your own policy due to the absence of insurance or lack of sufficient insurance through the other party. So have that information with you because a lot of times there are certain notice requirements that you need to give to your insurance company if you are, in fact, pursuing a uninsured or an underinsured claim. A lot of times it's 6 months or less that you have to formally put your insurance company on notice of a potential claim. So bring that information in with you if you can. Photographs of the vehicle, that's something that you should bring in with you and always retain. Give a copy to your attorney. Retain a copy on your computer, your cell phone, what have you. But, that's important, and that's important for a number of reasons. You hear a lot of times insurance companies make the argument or try to make the argument that because there is a lack of damage to the vehicle, that the impact wasn't that bad, that you couldn't have been injured because the car wasn't totaled or the photos don't depict, great damage. So that's an argument that defense attorneys and insurance companies have been making for a long time. Photos of the vehicles are important. And, at trial, a good plaintiff's attorney will make the arguments to try to either keep those photographs out if they don't depict severe damage and to try to prevent the defense attorney from making that argument that due to the absence of damage on the vehicle, there must be somehow an absence of injuries. So, plenty of medical and biomechanical studies have been conducted. And there's plenty of evidence out there that a person can sustain serious injuries without there being significant damage to the vehicles. Photographs of the vehicle, bring those in with you. If you have photographs of your injuries, if there's any visible bruises, contusions, scars, whatever it may be. If you have home medical devices or assistive devices at home, you know, bring pictures of all that in, okay? Because at the time, you know, you're not going to think about it. Your injuries hopefully are going to heal. And, you know, we want as much evidence as we can to depict your current state of pain and suffering. So bring those in with you. Copies of medical records and medical bills, if you have those in your possession, great, bring them in. It's something you can go over with your attorney. If you don't have them, don't worry about it. It's something that we can order. We order them anyways, regardless usually of whether the client brings them in, because we want to make sure we have a full set of the records and the bills and that we have all our bases covered. Usually, every time I have a client come in on an injury case, I have them sign a medical authorization, which allows me to contact the medical provider directly to order full copies of the client's medical records and their bills. And again, we talked earlier on the show about not wanting or having you go to collection over any medical bills. So bring those in with you, and we can start working on that right away. Plenty of times I'll have a client come in for an initial evaluation. They'll give me medical bills, and I'll call that same day to get those medical providers off their back and keep them from going to collection. So that's important. Additionally, if you have correspondences from the insurance company, bring that in with you, okay? That's got all the information, usually the claims adjuster that's assigned to your case, with contact information, policy information, and that helps us because then we can, you know, immediately give the adjuster a call on the case to start working on it, as opposed to sending them a letter and waiting for them to respond and going back and forth that way. So, you know, the more prepared you are coming in for that initial evaluation, the faster and more efficient your attorney can be by starting to get on your case for you. Additionally, any out-of-pocket expenses that you've incurred, try to save receipts for those. Bring that in with you, and it's something that your attorney should be able to retain. And then later on, when it's time to resolve your case, we'll make sure that we include any out-of-pocket receipts or expenses for you. And finally, wage loss information. If you've had to miss any time from work, workers' compensation, if you're off for a period of time, bring in pay stubs. If you're off for a considerable amount of time, at some point you're going to be asked to provide tax returns that reflect what your wages would have been had you been able to be at work. We have Samantha on line two. Good afternoon, Samantha.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are
you? Well, it is afternoon. I'm fine. I've heard the word waiver thrown around a lot in legal places. Can you explain what exactly what that means?
In what context have you heard?
Well, I guess is if you're in some sort of personal injury case and you should or shouldn't sign a waiver for something.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna try to address that. I think, and we're throwing out waiver, possibly being synonymous with a release, which could be the case. And you know, if you're involved in an accident, a lot of times the insurance companies, well, all the time the insurance company is going to contact you directly, and they're going to try to resolve your claim from from the get-go. They don't want you to go out and find an attorney, because they know that if you do, they're going to be paying more money to you at the end of the day. So it's in the insurance company's best interest to contact you and try to settle it prematurely. And, attorney's going to, usually not allow that to happen. But what they'll do is they will contact you and they'll send you a settlement check as well as a waiver or a release with that settlement check. And what they're looking for is for you to see that check, your eyes to light up, to sign that waiver or release. And from their perspective, the case is over with. So, you know, it's a good question, Samantha. I appreciate the phone call. And, you know, have a nice afternoon over there. And something to keep in mind, if you're ever in that position where an insurance company is contacting you and looking for you to sign anything, whether it's a waiver, a release, an authorization for them to obtain records or any other information, that should be a red flag for you. Contact an attorney, bring in the paperwork, sit down with them, show them what it is the insurance company is trying to have you sign, have somebody explain the ramifications of what it is you're signing. You know, the insurance company is going to just send you a waiver and a check for $500, you know, off the bat as soon as they find out about the claim. Think about what their interests are. I'm sure that's not the full value of all those elements of damages that we discussed and the rights that that we discussed that you're entitled to, the medical bills, your pain and suffering, your mental anguish, lost wages, any of that. And the insurance company is just looking for a quick settlement. They want you to sign the waiver or the release, which then prohibits you from going back after them at a later time. So I appreciate the phone call from Samantha. Again, the show, 815-254-7300. With any more questions, feel free to give me a call at the office and to talk off the air, 815-723-7600. Or you can look us up online, www.glighterlaw.com. Let's talk about for a few minutes the timing of a settlement. You know, a lot of times I sign clients up and they're very anxious from the beginning to get their case resolved, and they want to talk settlement while they're still treating or at the initial evaluation. And you know, I can tell you right off the bat that I'm not going to resolve a client's claim until I know the full extent of his injuries. And that I know that they've exhausted or at least considered all the treatment options that are available to them. You know, once your case is settled, that's it. There's no going back. You get one bite at the apple. You've got your statute of limitations in which to file the case. So, you know, if you can hold off and wait, you know, there's no rush if you're working with an attorney. Make sure that the attorney has an understanding of what your injuries are, what you may need down the line. If you're going to need future treatment, that's something that that needs to be considered when you're settling a case. Okay, including any additional medical treatment, follow-ups, and you know, even when a client tells me that they're done treating and to go ahead and start resolving the case, I'll order that client's medical records and medical bills to start getting everything in line. But then I'm still going to want the client to follow up with me and talk a couple weeks later, because I want to make sure that there's no residual effects, that you know, they're not still experiencing a flare-up, you know, or are going to experience pain. And, you know, we know with a lot of neck and back type injuries or exacerbations of arthritic conditions or degenerative conditions, you know, as the weather turns cold, people are going to have increased complaints. They're going to feel more pain when the weather turns like it is today. So, you know, if you can hold off and let your attorney perform a full and reasonable evaluation of your claim so that he can get you the top dollar that you need, you know, allow him to do that. So, you know, once a case is filed in court, it takes years. Litigation takes years, and litigation can be very expensive. Attorneys spend thousands and thousands of dollars, and, you know, clients are waiting, you know, years for their cases to be resolved. And, you know, the defense attorneys, they drag these cases out because they're getting paid hourly. So they don't have any incentive to make a quick settlement for you. There's no such thing as filing a lawsuit and then getting a quick settlement. Okay, so it's something that that you need to discuss with your attorney, talk about the costs, the economic advantages, disadvantages of filing a lawsuit versus accepting what the insurance company is offering pre-suit. So, well, I tell you what, we are running out of time. We have additional questions, but we can get to that next week. Hope everyone has a wonderful week. Be safe, be warm, and we look forward to hearing from you next week.